Maybe we're good.
We will call to order the Thursday, May 6th edition of the Lakeview Public Safety Subcommittee. We are having a work session on House Bill 5045. And we will, it's been a while since we've visited this budget. Let's have an overview from Dr. Groom, our illustrious public defender. And do you want to come up? You might as well. We might have some questions.
Chair, members of the committee, Dave Groom, here for the State Public Defender's Office. I guess what we attempted to present last time was the idea that our office not being in control of its own caseload was and is in some trouble as far as the number of cases both coming in and the backlog. The backlog at the time we were here, March 15th, was 236 cases. I have not done a recomputation since then. However, I believe that would be about the same. We're going to be getting a few of those done and getting a few more that are not, that at the time were not backlogged, that will be starting with extensions now. So the main part that we were concerned about was the death penalty, because we have three death penalty attorneys who are also carrying Court of Appeals cases, which caused them not to be able to get to the death penalty cases. The only change there is that at the time I was predicting, we had six cases that we had taken in, and I was predicting one more that actually turned out to be two, because of one that I didn't know about that got the death penalty. So we have another death penalty case in, two more, including the one from Roseburg 2 days ago. So, as I told you last time, that takes, generally speaking, two attorneys about 3 months of time to do each case just to get the brief completed, exclusive of oral argument or any of the other duties that we have with respect to those cases. So what we asked for in our policy package was three more attorneys and clerical staff and space to house them in order that we might deal with the backlog. We might be able to do both. I'm just not sure how it would work, but the main need is to get the cases that we currently have off the backs of the death penalty attorneys so that they can do the death penalty cases. Once the backlog was caught up with, which would take some amount of time, we might be able to start working at the increasing volume of cases, but that's something that we didn't really ask this committee to address in our budget packages. We also asked for salary parity with the Attorney General's office and for law clerks, and I am hopeful that is something that we can continue to address. We do need to keep the people that we hire, and that becomes increasingly difficult as the salary comparatively drops in comparison to the other agencies that do our kind of work. I interviewed a person from the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office in Portland to fill one of our positions, and I was not able to select her because although she had a great deal of experience, she also had a higher salary than we could afford, and she would not move for the salary that we could offer. I would like to rectify that at some point so that we can keep some of the people that we do hire. And there's one other thing that I was thinking about since our last meeting. There aren't too many people around the state who are real interested in appeals, and it's kind of a mundane area, and I understand that. I don't know whether it's a personality defect on my part that I am interested in appeals, but I seem to have this interest in not only my office, but in the Court of Appeals and how it works. And I've spoken with the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals and one of the Justices on the Supreme Court about Oregon and why it is that Oregon seems to be one of the states that has so much problem with appeals. The chief judge told me that Oregon is one of the four worst states in terms of cases assigned per judge. I don't know whether that means we don't have enough judges. I do know it means we have too many cases, and I don't think they're all criminal. I don't know why Oregon has such an appeals problem. I'd like to figure that out. That's something that I would like to do between now and the next session, because I think that that I know enough people that do my kind of work in other states that we could at least make a start on what the criminal situation is in their states. Chief Judge Deep told me that she talks to chief judges. They've got a listserv, apparently, and she can do an email to chief judges, which I think is a really neat thing. And so she puts out an email, she says, and gets 15 or 20 responses from judges, chief judges around the country. And she put out a listserv on how long they gave extensions for, and some of them wrote back and said, we don't give extensions. And I know that we've got 236 extensions. When I was in her office that day, she had a stack of extensions in her hand, only one of which was from our office. And so I know that it's not just us, it's the entire process. And it seems to me we could benefit in this state somehow from examining this problem from an around-the-country point of view and just see how did we get this way? Why are we this way, and what could we do about it?
Let me interrupt you, Mr. Boone, because funny you should bring that up. Just yesterday, we passed the Crime Commission's budget out of the sub, and in there wrote a fairly forceful budget note that will give you that very opportunity to participate in that process.
Good. Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. That's something that we need.
We cannot force you to attend, but attendance will be noted.
I would be delighted to. I mean, that's something that, again, I don't know why it is, but it's sort of near and dear to my heart. So if we could figure that out, I think we could go somewhere down the line of at least explaining the situation we're in and maybe doing something about it as well. So.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, this is a board or a commission that doesn't have a bunch of public advocates.
These are people, as you well know, are convicted of crimes and getting representation. The two questions I have is that in Brown versus Multnomah, when some people were given defense, the Supreme Court Justice Edwin Peterson downgraded or changed the definition of who was entitled to public defender service. That had a net effect of rolling back some of the benefits that some people are receiving. Is it time we review that process again and perhaps roll it back a little further to knock down the eligibility requirements of who is entitled to public defender?
I really think that could be explored, Senator Hanna, Mr. Chair. I think that could be, that really ought to be part of anything that we explore in terms of indigent defense over the next couple of years. Ways that it's funded, that kind of thing. I do think that it's imperative that we understand this. Anyway, of course, from my perspective, we don't want to lose anything that would implicate the Constitution. I mean, there really is a reason why a defendant is entitled to be represented at critical stages if they're going to be sent to prison or jail. And none of us certainly would want to be facing a trial of any type without having representation if jail was a possibility of a sentence.
And the other side of the coin is, are we placing ourselves potentially in a position of being sued for litigation against the state for denying access to an appellate process? That's the other side of the coin.
I Senator Hannon, Mr. Chair, I am aware of two states in the past year or two that have had problems in their appellate defender's offices where they have gone to federal court. The ACLU or somebody has taken those agencies into federal court and won a suit against the state.
So what you're saying is somewhere between cleaning out the process and extending the process, we need a middle ground approach.
That's correct, Senator Hannon. And I think, for example, in this Illinois situation, 19 months was what the trial judge was aiming for. That is 19 months between the time the case came into the appellate agency and the time that the brief was produced. We're not quite there yet in terms of time, but we are over a year, so we're kind of pushing it a bit. And, yes, I think that is a possibility, and I agree. I think that there needs to be a kind of a fine line walked here.
Mr. Chairman, the budget note we reported on yesterday asked all the state agencies to work with the Criminal Justice Commission on coming up with statistical information. I think it would be somewhat behoove us in a manner if we were to extend another budget note to this agency directing them to report back in the next session either statutory change, administrative change, or whatever would need to be accomplished or achieved to reduce some of these. This agency has taken a constant beating for the 25 years that I've been in this process. I've sat in the Public Safety Set Committee many, many times. And when the young lady that used to be the director of it, she would come in here and get beat up. Every session, we were always either holding them even or cutting them back. Well, at the same time we're doing that to them, their caseload is rising. And it's only going to take one of these cases, whether it's a murder case, capital offense.
If somebody feels like they got misrepresentation by the public defender's office, and you can bet your bottom dip that there's going to be litigation filed. And then it's going to put us in a situation where we're being reactive rather than proactive. I'm not advocating, but I think we need to be very sensitive in how we approach this budget.
Mr. Chair, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because I wasn't in here, but it's my understanding that there was a budget note that was put on the Department of Justice's budget that directed exactly what you were discussing, the evaluation of indigent defense and appeals. So I would just suggest that we add a sentence in the budget report that encourages the public defender to cooperate in that process.
Okay. Well, and then as a practical matter, with our Criminal Justice Committee at work yesterday, I mean, obviously they were invited to attend. I don't think we can tell them to attend. We can request them to attend, and I think that's an invitation they would, welcome. I fully accept that when it's all said and done, we will come to a very good understanding of many parts of the justice system by the beginning of the next session. We'll get you a copy of that budget note if you want. And we can also put that in the narrative. And I don't think we're going to object to that in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all.
Very good. Proceed, sir.
The only other thing that we talked about last time that I wanted to bring up was the end of this biennium. We have a request in for $40,000 that has to do with kind of the crisis management until the next biennium starts, as far as getting some of the cases out of the office and to a private attorney that we've been using for that purpose. Those were really the main issues that we addressed last time, and I'm certainly happy to answer any questions if the committee has any that we didn't get to last time or that we did.
Any questions for Mr. Bloom, Esquire?
I
Well, in that case, Linda, do you want to say anything?
Mr. Chair, would it be useful to go over the budget? Would you
rather? We'll do that when we hear from staff. So.
Okay.
Great. Let's hear from staff report.
Unless there are specific questions on the current service level, I would just suggest approving it. There are no special issues involved in it. Pretty standard.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, President Babbage.
That is the current service level. I believe it's $4,771,634 with 34 FTE.
Is that a motion? Any discussion?
Discussion.
Anna?
The question I have with LFO staff is item 4. Involving salary parity. Are we in essence going to wait till the workload and the collective bargaining is finished to determine what the salary parity is going to be? Or is this going to be an e-board function? I mean, all we're doing is postponing it something that ultimately would have to occur. But at what point would it occur or not occur?
Senator Cannon, my expectation is there is an issue hanging out there, which is the Public Defender Corporation. If in fact that bill passes and this agency becomes part of it, those will then become internal management issues that will have to be dealt with as part of the Public Defender Corporation.
Is that semi-private? Or?
That's correct.
So it's kind of a semi-private, quasi-public corporation?
Yes.
Like SAFE?
as best we understand it.
Yes. However, if that bill doesn't pass, we will need to revisit this before the session's over.
Okay.
So I'm assuming if there will probably be some sort of omnibus in the session bill, in which case there probably would need to be some action taken either to deal with. You notice the term I did not use. we would need to either identify it as an emergency board issue or in
okay.
some other way. The same thing is true.
Item 7?
Yes.
Adding on the appropriation for this, by any
means? No, Mr. Chair. Senator Cannon, I'm sorry. No, that is included in this recommendation.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks.
And just to flesh that out a little bit more, we looked at the personnel, the salary package pretty hard. I don't know if Kurt was there or not, but without talking out of school on the record, I mean, we were ready to go ahead and do that, and we just thought we'd pull back based on whatever Representative Mannix comes up with, and whether that happens or not is anybody's guess.
Well, I hope you didn't mind my question, Mr. Chairman, because I hadn't believed in this agency, and I strongly feel I hope I'm over and desiring other services.
Well, if anyone on this committee would need them, sir. And the other thing is, we're proud that you're sitting on this committee that did not cut this budget. Representative Schrader has a different opinion, but that's.
Representative Passage has a motion on the table.
Thank you for reminding me. I think we got to the point. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion? Motion is approved. Any exceptions?
Item number 2 is a recommendation that we approve their budget package 101, which is, retains two limited duration positions that are currently in their budget. It's $184,211 and 2 FTE. That's one attorney and one clerical support position.
Why don't we just go all the way through these and incorporate them into one motion?
Item number 3 is to partially approve budget package 102 in the amount of $535,280 and 5 FTE. That provides 3 additional attorney positions and 2 additional clerical positions to address workload. This includes $473,421 in personal services and $61,859 for equipment, supplies, and rent for the positions. Item 4 is what we were just discussing, deferring action on budget issues involving salary parity with the Attorney General, reclassifications, and law court support, pending action on proposed legislation regarding the Public Defender Corporation. Item 5, deferring action on a study to evaluate appropriate workload standards, again pending action on the Public Defender Corporation. If the Public Defender Corporation does not become enacted, I would like to have a study done, and we had briefly discussed this in committee, I believe, of what are appropriate workload standards. There was a standard adopted in 91. The agency is not comfortable with that, so we're looking at perhaps about $30,000 to have that study done. But if the corporation passes, we will not need to do that. And then my last two recommendations have to do with the amendments that you will find attached to the packet of material that I handed out to you. Item 6 is the adjustments to the 99-01 budget, which incorporates my recommendations 1, 2, and 3. And that is to amend House Bill 5045 to establish a general fund appropriation in the amount of $5,491,125. Item 7 deals with 9799 and has my own typo, which is I transposed 5045 into House Bill 5054, so I'll apologize. And that is a supplemental general fund appropriation of $40,000 for the current biennium for their, again, for their critical workload.
Representative Patrick. Mr. Chair, I would move the omnibus motion as recommended by legislative fiscal, including the typographical error being corrected to read House Bill 5045.
As acknowledged by Robin Lamont, where they do pass to the whole committee.
Yeah.
Any discussion?
Any objections?
Motion carries. And House Bill 5045 is moved to the full committee with a DUCAS recommendation.
I need to carry it.
We have a House bill. Volunteers. Representative Kozanski. We'll carry it on the House floor. Sharon, you want to carry it to the full committee? And Senator Hannan,
yeah,
you have the honor to carry this. Do us the honor of carrying this on the Senate floor. Any other discussion? I don't want to, on your salary parity issue, we got you. We were looking pretty close. We didn't get you all the way there, but there were some significant argumentation. So, yeah, I don't want to create that expectation too high in it, because that's the correct assessment.
I think there was discussion. I'm not exactly sure where we were, but I think that was an issue that we thought we would revisit if it still doesn't pass.
Yeah, but I mean, if it doesn't pass, we were almost leaving the impression that we got to 100% of parity. We got pretty close in the discussions. I mean, it's two balls in the air.
I understand that.
Okay. Could you sit down, Representative Maddox, so we can adjourn this? Or
you want me to adjourn it before?
I'm standing here.
All right. Any other business coming before the committee?
We appreciate everyone's attendance and participation. We are adjourned.
Good timing.